Hey everyone, welcome to A Little Bit of Woo. I'm your host, Jill Thomas, and I'm very excited. Today's guest is Kate Yen. Kate Yen is an animal empath, a divinely guided animal communicator, an energy healer helping people and their pets have more self-love and thrive. Welcome, Kate. I'm so excited to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
So one thing I got right away, because I noticed you're on your website, one of the things I got right away that's really important to you, and I want to talk about it first because I feel like it's kind of your jam, is empowerment with people, owners, and their pets. What does that mean to you? And kind of explain to us why that's so important to you.
Yeah, so I have loved animals my whole life, and I've always been able to have this special connection with them and always been someone who has tuned into their messages and felt very connected to them. So I think of animals almost as angels that really come to us for a reason, that are sent from above to help us on our journey. So I feel like our animals are here to help us live our best lives, and they come to us for a specific reason at a specific time.
Ooh,
and they really can help us so much more than we know. And they're more aware of what we think, and more than just someone that we take care of, part of our soul family, really part of our journey here as guides and teachers as well. So I think of them more as like mini teachers and very important parts of our journey besides being just a pet.
I love that, because I was thinking about the client the other day who was like, he was asking me about the animal distribution system. You know, mm-hmm. I know that's kind of a joke, the animal distribution center. She said that she was in her living room, and she could feel a knock on the door. And she's like, I didn't hear a knock on the door. So she's like, walks up to the door thinking, you know, who's outside, right? And there's a dog on the porch, tail wagging, just walks in. Hey, where's my bed? You know, I just want to let you know it needs to be wet food, not dry food. And it's just like, just moves in. She gets up.
Wow.
And I hear these kind of stories all the time. And I wonder if that pet distribution system is a thing, or if that's kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. I wish that would happen to me. When I was younger, it used to happen a lot more with the strays that we would adopt and take in. And sometimes we'd have I remember a few times other cats would leave the home they were in and come to us, and we'd have to talk to their parent to see if it was okay. But I've heard of that too, where a pet might want to choose another family at a certain point. But yeah, I think they do come to us for a reason at a specific time. And that's just a beautiful thing. And to have them choose you, it's such a blessing.
So tell me about some of the reasons they might come. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think to help you get to a next level, to help you make a change, to help give you courage, to help you heal. They're healers. Many of them have healing abilities, just being in love itself, to teach you unconditional love, to give you love. And there's lessons that they teach you. And I would ask everyone to look at every pet they've ever had and think of, what was the lesson that you learned from them, and what did you teach them? So if we're here as souls, and everyone has their own journey and their own lessons to learn, what their jobs are might seem small to us, but they're very important to them, because our animals, their home, being in the house, that's their entire environment. That's where they stay most of the time. So everything they do in there has a purpose and a reason. And it's very significant to them. If you move a couch or something moves in their environment, it might really impact them, and you might not think twice about it. So I think being more aware of what their needs are and what is important to them will help you have a stronger connection to them. There's so many reasons they can come to you. And I think just doing our best to help them live their best life suit, so better serve us, would help everyone. But yeah, they can come for any sort of reason. And I had a cat who was 21 years old. His name is Perry. He was a rescue and he was deaf, but I always say that he heard with his heart. He's all white and he heard with his heart. He was definitely an angel, divine masculine energy. I love this cat so much. for so many years, but losing him was very difficult, very hard. And he passed a couple of years ago, and I really miss his presence in the home, but I still feel him around. And I know the next cat will come to me at the right time, and I'm manifesting a cat right now because I'm a cat person. I love cats so much. And most of the people I work with come to me with their dogs, actually. So I worked with a lot of dogs. But I also love working with cats and horses and all different sorts of animals. But they do have a very big purpose for coming to you. Even if you don't necessarily, they're not your pet and you haven't adopted them, but it's someone else's pet, but you have a strong relationship with them, they could still be working with you in a different way than they're working with someone else.
Wow.
So the way they work with different people in the home is different. And I've seen that all the time. It's almost like, and their personalities can totally change around someone else, which is interesting too.
Interesting. So it almost sounds like I'm almost hearing you say, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but they're like counselors. Like because I do hypnotherapy and I'm an intuitive reader, you know, I talk or speak differently with certain people than I do with a different client because of just, I shift to their, use a lot more of their languaging when I'm trying to help someone with a challenge, because I know, yeah, if I use their words, they're more likely to hear it.
Yes. So
is that, yeah, kind of what you're saying with the dogs?
Absolutely.
And the cats?
Yeah. So dogs have a certain like caninality, and felines have a felinality, and around different people it might adjust. And they're also mirroring you and mirroring their people. So for example, if someone comes to me and they say, oh, my dog has a lot of anxiety, I'll just ask the question, do you have anxiety? And most likely, yes. The issue a dog might pick up on is something the person has too, or the dog is holding on to some illness or sickness or energetic thing for the person.
Yeah, let's talk about that one, because that one comes up a lot. Tell me about sickness or illness. Can dogs and cats actually cure? I know we can't say the big C on air, or else YouTube will block this video.
Oh, okay.
But no, I just gave it. But what can these animals do for it?
They can do, I believe, in my experience and what I've seen, that they can do so much for us. And there's so much that we do not understand. But I would invite people to be open and to have an open mind and heart to the idea that they can help with your healing process. And healing is not curing. I'm also an energy healer. And what a lot of my messaging comes through as an energy healer. So people come to me and for an animal healing session, and it works through Zoom. It works with intention. It's all positive energy. As an energy healer, I have healing touch for animals, healing touch background, different energy healing modalities. And when I was doing all the energy healing is when the messages would come through, and I would see pictures or I'd hear messages and from the animal. It's up to the animal what they want to share. But yes, they can help. Absolutely, with our healing process. I believe they can hold on to things energetically for us. And I've seen it. And I don't want anyone to feel like it's their fault if their pet gets sick, or they're like, oh, you know, they blame themselves. It's not like that. That's the animal's choice to help. And they might take on something for you that energetic baggage, for example, or hold on to something. Like I had a cat once and he had this very big, I mean, he was 17 years old, but he had a huge tumor. I think he was holding on. He took something for someone else in the house. That's just what I think, that he ended up sacrificing himself, like to take it, that and to help his pet parent. And that's just something I can't prove, but I just had this feeling that he did that. And of course they can get diseases on their own that has nothing to do with us as well. And we just help them through it. And I think energy healing helps along with veterinary care. I don't think energy healing is a replacement for veterinary care, but at the same time, I've learned from the animals when they come to me that they would like to have more of a say in their care. And sometimes they don't like having all of these different medicines and these strong dosages and being prodded and poked at and rushed through a system. might not feel comfortable in that environment, and they would prefer to have more of a say. And sometimes it most people are intuitive, I would say, and especially with their animals, to know we're not going to do that. Or just to ask your animal, just say, is this something you want to do? Is this the path? So for example, let's say the veterinarian gives you a plan, a healing plan or a health plan. Go home, don't make any decisions right away, and go over it with your pet together closely and decide, do we want to do this? And then also decide, how is this dosage? Does this work for you? Maybe we need to make it less. Maybe we need to work with the vet on that, just like you would with your baby. Like I'm pregnant and I have a 5-year-old, and I would work with their doctor to say, hey, can we adjust this? Can we do something that would work better, make me feel more comfortable, you know, as this plan? And we can do that with our animals too. Just really work with them, empower them. As they're empowering us, we empower them too, give them more of a voice. And you'll know what is their yes and what is their no.
I love that. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, and what's comfortable for them, and trying, because they know too, just like in the wild, the animal would know what plants to eat, what not to eat, where to sit, where not to sit. They're aware. So I think if we could just take a step back and not be so anxious and like on edge and disempowered when there's some emergency or something goes wrong, and instead work together as a team and maybe combine some energy work, some holistic work, some essential oils, some sunshine with whatever conventional medicine recommendations are too, we'll have a lot more higher success rate.
I love what you just said, because, you know, if grandma received a diagnosis that was unfortunate, mm-hmm. let's just say bad, and doctor said, hey, you're going to need this terrible treatment for, you know, torture and maybe a few surgeries, you wouldn't just say, hey, okay, sign us up. You talk to grandma. How do you feel about being, you know, having poked and prodded and given something that's going to make your hair fall out and you're going to throw up for the next 6 months, just to give you maybe an extra 2 months? I mean, how would you feel about that? And I love the idea of just sitting down with the cat or the dog and saying, how do you feel about that? And allowing your intuition to guide you with this. This is how would you say, I know people listening to this are thinking, well, I don't understand. What is a yes or a no for a dog? Is there an easier way to kind of get that sense with an animal?
Oh, absolutely. So I would play with visualization and working and to learn how to communicate with your animals more. And most likely people are already communicating with their animals without even knowing it. If they just get a thought that pops into their head when they're and then they kind of giggle with their cat, or they're reading a paper and the dog is there and they know the dog is involved in the conversation they're having. So there's a vision you can, I use this idea of like red light, green light. So you can imagine a traffic light. If it's a green light, it's a yes. If it's a red light, it's a no. That's one way to do it. You can have certain symbols that you share with your pet and signs. Like, for example, if they do that, I know it means this. So just play with it. Another way, for example, if you're going out of town or if you're going to leave the house, then a lot of times this is a problem for people when they leave. Their pet doesn't like it or there's a problem. And also, I think it's two ways. The pet might feel that way because you're feeling that way. So whatever you feel, or if you identify them as a certain way, they will just act that way because that's how you're feeling. So it's they're remember mirroring us and how we feel and what we're thinking about. And they can read pictures too. Let's say they're aware of this consciousness, this field, and they can see what, let's say they can see what's on your mind. They can see pictures. That's why it's important to match our words with what we're thinking with animals, because sometimes people will say something and think something else, and then it confuses the animal. But if you're going out of town, you can imagine a sunrise and sunset, like where is the sun going to be in the sky when you come back? And that's a good way to tell them, or how many times is the sun going to set before you get home if you're going away. So just kind of sending them pictures and practice sending them pictures, mental images of where you are, what you're doing, or even when you're out, send them love, send them an image of where you are.
Because you're
together still. Yeah. Even if you're not physically with each other all the time, they're still with you in your heart. You have a heart connection to them. You can ping them little places where you are and just play with that. I mean, if you think about if they're in the wild and a mama bear wants to know where her baby bear is, she'll probably be able to get a sense where the bear is just using her intuitive nature. So we can do that too with our animals.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. So back to something you said earlier, because I want to go into, you said that, you know, do these animals see ghosts in the house or do, oh, the other thing I really want to know, because I get people ask me this, these animals reincarnate too, right? Like if your dog, you have a dog when you're 8, the dog is going to come back when you're 30 as a different kind of dog. Does that happen?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think the animals are just more tuned in than we are to more things, I would say. And whether or not, I think it depends on the animal. Like you might, just like you might have someone who, anyone can play the piano, but only a certain amount of people can be a concert pianist. So that's a way to look at it. Like anyone could probably tune into that, but some people might be really good. Some animals might be really good at it. And yes, I think it's their, again, goes back to their choice if they want to come back or not. Sometimes when an animal is crossing the rainbow bridge, and I do a lot of sessions like this right before they pass, and the person wants to know, are you going to come back? And sometimes they haven't made that decision yet, or it is a no, or it's not, they want us to look at it more like they can't really even leave because that's their spirit. Just like, you know, their spirit, there's so much more. All that's happening is they're losing their physical body. That's all that's happening. So it helps people more if they have like a picture or a stuffed animal or something that they feel like that animal, a piece of them is still with them when they are gone, but they're never really gone. So to say that they could come back, but you could tune into your cat you had when you were 6 years old anytime. They're never gone. So they can still work with you and help you, and they do. Oftentimes when there's a problem or maybe there's a cat or a dog in the house, it's doing too much. It's burnt out. Like there's so much that the dog is doing. It has so many jobs. There's so much going on. I'll say, let's bring in your cat or a dog. Have you had one growing up or a special one to you? Yes. Okay. Let's ask them for help. So then we ask the animal that's crossed over to help that give this other animal some rest and take some of the load from the other animal. And that we do sometimes, and it's helpful. So just remember your animal, maybe a piece of them could come back, like splice into like another body, or I think that happens where they might direct us to another pet and help us, lead us to another pet. And it's not necessarily them, but they might have a piece of them. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I love the way you described it, because that kind of takes the pressure off them. Like, but I really need Fido to come back. It doesn't need to be Fido. It can be, yeah. It can be Carol. It's okay. Yeah.
And Carol could have a friendship with Fido, and Carol could, you know, see Fido, you know, and Carol can just be a surrogate Fido in some ways, but also help you in different ways. Because why would you need him to come back when you've already learned your lessons with him? His work with you is done.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting perspective.
Yeah. And I would say also you worked with them in other places and spaces before, maybe in even other. I mean, I think, again, this just goes back to opening your heart and mind and being open to the possibilities of what your relationship with that animal is and how it could adapt and change. And I think deep down, you'll know, even at the time of their passing, that it's not the end. Really, they're often so much happier to cross the rainbow bridge. And this happens so many times. They're so happy to go back home and to help you in a different way. Really, they can help you more after they cross the rainbow bridge, because they can help arrange things for you, work on a higher level to help you meet people, to help guide you at different places, to help opportunities come up for you as really more of an angel, even more so when they cross over. So no, you don't have that physical maybe connection to them when they cross, but you have so much more of a connection in your heart if you're just open to it. You can write letters to them. You can ask them to visit you in a dream. You can do all these different sorts of things. You can honor them and remember them just like you would a lost loved one, and ask them to help just like you could would an angel to help if something was needed or if you needed some guidance, and just think of them. And they're just so sweet and special. And remember, they're not human. So often we just put all these human traits on them, but they're more than, they're so much more and unique in their ways. And I think if you could learn more about that and maybe sit with them more, do meditation with them more. I ask people to spend maybe around like 5-10 minutes a day with each pet, just you and that pet, where you have something special you do. Maybe you journal, maybe you sit out on the porch and look at the moon, maybe you go for a walk, just something that you do with each pet individually every day, just to help presence you and to help ground you and to help do work, like different types of work with them. Because just sitting with them and petting them, that's their work that they're doing with you. They're helping to regulate your system. They're helping to help you calm and be more in your body. They do so much for us, and it shouldn't be rushed through, right? Just their time with them. Instead of worrying so much about when they're not going to be here or how it's going to end, they want us to be more in the present and honor our time and our memories together. So often at the end, people are worried like, oh my gosh, you know, is there something I could have done differently? I shouldn't have done this, or shouldn't, they're questioning everything, or they're regretting how it ended. Or, and the animals, they just know their time is their time. And they don't want you to get hung up on the details of how things happen.
So having said that, and that's a great observation, because this is a question that comes up a lot in intuitive readings. How do you know when it's time to take them to the vet and help them over that rainbow bridge? How do you know what the, you know, because it's tough. If the animal's still eating, but you're feeling like they're in pain, like, how do you know? How do you know?
Yeah, I think there's a ratio I learned too. It's 70-30, where if 70% of the time they're in pain, but 30% they're doing fine, that's where you need to start to think about helping them cross over, because you don't want them suffering. And they always say, the animals to me, that it's better to do it a day earlier than a day later. Just think, if you had a loved one or someone, would you want them to be in a ton of pain all the time? Is that what they would want? So I think you just know, the animals always tell their person. They do. You'll know. Like, just when I knew my cat, I remember I was in the midst of so much. It was the total wrong timing for me. But I knew, but based on his howling, that he had to go like that day. And I remember calling different vets, and some people couldn't get him in that day. And I said, okay, well, we have to get him in today. So that I called around till I could find something I could do it that day, because I knew he had told me that was it. That was the day. And they always do. And I had a pet, a dog, or someone that I worked with, who, this was very interesting. They thought they were going to put the dog down that day. And something told her, she had done a session with me before, and she called and said, can you just get me in today? I need to talk to you. I have a nudge to talk to you. So we did a healing, and I just kept getting from the dog. He wasn't ready to go. But they had an appointment, I think, because of all the stress. Because sometimes, here's the thing, it's not that the dog wasn't telling her clearly, it was that she wasn't present. Because there was so much stress, because she was worried about all the previous things that had happened and wasn't able to connect clearly with their dog at that time. But she did get the message to call me. So she did get the message to call me, and I got the message he wasn't ready. And I said, this dog's not ready to go. Are you planning on a trip or something? And they said, yes, they were going to go on a trip at the end of the month. I said, this dog wants to come with you on the trip. And this is a dog that had camped with them. They were like very nomadic family. And so the dog wanted to go on this trip, and they said, okay, I guess the dog's coming. We'll figure it out. Get a wagon to put the dog in, whatever, special bet. And it was, they had a great time. The dog made it, lived long enough to go on this camping trip. And it was beautiful. It had all these pictures, and then came back. And I think it was like 6 more months before he crossed the rainbow bridge, but they felt very complete with that. And the funny thing is, They had told me, and I totally forgot, years before I had a reading with them, and I had given them the same message with a different dog. They were going to put down another dog, and I had a message with them, and I said, this dog doesn't want to go, and the dog was still alive years later. So there's happy stories too, but I really believe that the animals tell their person. They tell their person when they're ready to go. They might look at you, and you can say, like, tell me, give me a sign when you're ready. And they'll just know in their heart. And again, you know, when you're with them, if they're very uncomfortable or not. I think we don't need to beat ourselves up if we have them, if they help, we lose them, if we have to help them cross the Rainbow Bridge and we feel bad about it. We don't need to feel bad about it. I remember when I picked up Perry, the ashes of my kitty, they didn't have my number. So I didn't hear from them for a long time. And I remember being like, oh shoot, how come I haven't heard from them? And I finally called the vet's office and I said, oh, are his ashes ready? And they said, oh my gosh, we didn't have your number. Yes. And I felt so guilty when I picked up his ashes. I'm like, oh my God, Perry, I'm so sorry I left you at the vet. I know you hated going to the vets. I'm so sorry you were there an extra week or something. And he told me, I got a message that that's not him. He's like, that's not me. I'm not there. And that made me feel very happy to know he wasn't really there. He was beyond, right? But he's still with me and bigger than that. So the animals just remind us. They are so much more. They're with us. They help us. They're part of everything. And especially when they cross, it's a beautiful time and to celebrate more. So I encourage people to do the bucket list things and to take them out to their favorite places and things to do and just celebrate more instead of being sad and upset or very stressed during that time. And I know it's hard not to when you're losing something so close to you and valuable. But if you can try to remember to celebrate and have fun and that they're excited because they get to go home too. And they know they're not really leaving you and they're still part of your journey, just in a different way.
I love the story about the dog because I can just, you know, dogs are so, they can be so kind of almost sarcastic. Like, you're going to go to the store without me? You guys are going to go camping without me? I want to go. Don't think you're going off on this camping trip in the woods, not taking me. I mean, I can just see kind of the wagging tail, like, I really want to go. I don't mind a little arthritis. It's just kind of.
They're okay with that. And sometimes we project how we think they feel, and they're okay. They might be okay living with some pain and they don't think about it. Like, if you look out in nature and you see a bird and a bird is missing a leg, or there's something wrong with the bird, but the bird's just living its life. It's just living its life. It's adapted. And so animals can adapt and they might not be internalizing what may or may not be conventionally wrong with them. Right. So with the humans, they might want the humans to know, hey, stop projecting so much onto me. I don't feel that way. It's not really that bad. I'm just living my life. Like, let's not be so in our heads about it. They don't want you in your head stressing so much and overanalyzing everything. Just let them live their life. And it's just like a person can have a disease and die with a disease, and it's not the disease that killed them. You know, it's like you can just, people are walking around with things. The animals are walking around with things. Just let them live their life and have that quality of life, regardless of this thing that might be going on. So I found too, just learning some energy healing techniques helps. I teach people all the time how to just like brush through their aura to balance out their system. And to do that on themselves and their pet. And that really works wonders too, just calming down. Because if you can be calm and grounded, that's a healing environment for an animal. So, that just doing some energy healing every day or a couple of times a week will help so much too with their recovery and will help with your bond because you are now, connected in a deeper way to doing some energy healing together.
I love that. And we'll absolutely put link in the description on how to find that on your website, because I know you teach these amazing programs, and I think that's really wonderful. Is there anything that I haven't thought to ask that you really think people need to know about their pets? Are there any misconceptions that people need to know? What do people need to know?
Oh, okay. What do they need to know? I think they need to know that the animals have so much more awareness than we think. And they need to know they are sensitive to everything, every person. So if you could just be more aware of like who's coming in the house, what kind of energy are they bringing, you know, being mindful of the energy in the space and who they're around, and also their interests and their needs. So if they don't want to go somewhere, if they don't want to do something, just be aware of that. Maybe don't force them to do something they don't want to do. And maybe think about some reasons why they are acting the way they are. And they might, for example, let's say an animal is going to the bathroom where they're not supposed to. Let's say a cat going outside the litter box. Well, the cat wanted your attention and issue. And the only way they could get your attention is to do that. And often if you took a moment to think, wait a minute, was there a change? Did something change in the home or in the house? Is there a problem, a conflict going on that the cat's picking up on and that's why they're acting this way? So just being more mindful of how your actions impact them. And if they're having a behavior issue, it could be because of that. So taking the time to take a step back and try to figure out the root. And I would say like having a little meeting, a family meeting or a pet meeting would work wonders to say, okay, we're going to all sit down together and we're going to work out this problem together. And getting like everyone's perspective, like talking to one animal, talking to another. Another thing that would be great is if to understand the animals want jobs to do and to figure out who's doing what job, especially if there's multiple animals in the home. Sometimes, you know, I think of like an org chart. If you work at a company, there's an org chart. Everyone has a role and a thing, and things run a lot smoother. And there's so much more understanding. Like you think of chickens have a pecking order. Like you say, okay, well, who's the alpha here? Who's the alpha dog or cat, right? Who's the one that we're really that's doing this? Or who I worked with a cat colony before at the Fund for Animals, which is now Project Wildlife in Ramona, California. And
I've been there.
You've been there?
It's a nice place. It is a really nice place.
Oh my gosh. I was there for 8 years. Every Saturday, I would work with these rescued cats who were rescued off an island, and they were wild, feral cats. But there was 56 of them when I first started. And just they thought when they were rescued that they could never be domesticated. They could never be friendly cats, like somehow to even be fed with a stick. Love is healing. Energy healing is healing, because through energy work and through love, these cats were so friendly, many of them, and they would come up to you. But I got to see these cats all have different jobs, and how some were more alpha and some were a different way where they would all do different jobs, like police the area. Like, you know, they all had a little job that they did. And it was so fascinating to watch. Even birds, if you watch the birds, I watch these doves by my house and I get to see how they work together. And then they work with the hummingbirds and how they all are doing jobs. And if you observe more your animals, you can see there's more happening. Observe where they sit in the house too. Like, a cat, where are they sitting? Just because they're sitting, sleeping, they're working. They could be balancing the energy of the home. There's things they're doing. And so respect their space. And I would say sometimes animals want to be left alone, or they want some privacy, or they want their own hiding spot. Just respect that. Or they want a place to climb. A little change like that can help so much. Getting a place for them to have that's just their own, a little place in the home, would work wonders and help their behavior so much and help them be calm. So just listening to them more. It's important for you to know that if they come up to you, let's say you're working and your cat or your dog interrupts you,
I resemble that remark.
Yeah, they might be more aware of what's going on with you. And as your caretaker too, is in a way, they might say, you need a break. You need some water. You need to get up. You need to play. Because sometimes that act of play is going to raise your vibration. It's going to help you. It's going to help you get more regulated and get a little fun in there, because they want us to have more fun. They want us to enjoy life, and they're here to help on that path and to help us do that. And they don't want you to stress out so much. They don't want you to stress out so much about their health or all of these things that could be going wrong, or your health. Like, they just want you to have fun and have more joy and get to know them on a deeper level and meditate with them or do visualization exercises with them. Just do something that can help your bond. And they want you to be happy. They want you to do the things that make you happy. Because the number one question I get asked is my pet happy? And they would say, are you doing things to make yourself happy that would make me happy?
And then I love that. We talked a lot about dogs and cats. And one thing I did want to ask before we close this, tell me about horses. I mean, dogs and cats energy is very different than horses. Whenever mm-hmm. I've done, occasionally I do intuitive readings and people's pets show up, and I'm not like the same skill level as you. So please don't book an appointment thinking I'm going to be able to read a pet. But a horse butts in and I'm like, this energy is really different than the dog. Talk about that. Talk about horse energy.
Yeah. I worked with Tearsun Horse Rescue in Ramona as well. Right by the cat rescue. I spent a summer with these horses. And horse energy is very powerful, very heart centered. They're very sensitive. I think of a horse and I just think of their huge hearts, their heart, you know, working in their heart area. Just they're so sensitive to your emotions. I think it's a beautiful energy. I always think of horses and I think of connecting them to their, if we think of, we have a higher self, and the horses have a higher unicorn. I would imagine them with this beautiful unicorn type energy, like sparkly love. And just, I think they're really from another world. I think horses also have it very hard on this planet. I think this is not an easy life for a horse. I just, in so many ways, I think they, like all, a lot of animals are ambassadors to really for their species and to teach us so much, to help us in our own healing, to be present with. When I work with horses, I feel very amazed at just the power there, and the awareness, and it's almost like they're magical too, I would say. And anyone who works with horses a lot, they understand them. And I think they have a special bond with their person too. And they're doing work with them too. I think but at the same time, even though it's a different species, it's still a being. So they are working with you in ways that you might not even know. So you might be doing the physical act of like riding a horse or training a horse for something, but at that same time, they're doing healing work with you and they're helping you work through an issue just the same way any other species of an animal could help you work through that issue. Like a lizard. That. Yeah.
Final question on this issue, and not to get all weird, but like I've always thought of, you know, if I was thinking of animals as interplanetary beings, we'll just use the word aliens. I always thought of like horses being from a different planet than the cats and the dogs. Do you see it that way, or is that kind of just in my own imagination?
Yeah, no, it's so funny you say that, because Diana Cooper, I worked at Hay House for 10 years as their associate director of content marketing, and I got to know all of these different authors. And Diana Cooper was one who does talk about that, how the animals are each from different planets or areas. And I thought that was very fascinating. I think that it's called like Archangels and the Animals. But she talks about that, where the animals being from different places. And I'm open to that idea. I think that's interesting. I know one of the things I learned about that is I remember, hamsters being, they, when she explained hamsters, she was saying their purpose as a species to come and help children with adjusting to this world. And now, and we have a little hamster. Yeah. So I thought, I remember that was being really sweet. Like the purpose of, you know, the hamsters as a whole. And if the whales holding records for humanity and the whales being so important. And something else I learned from her is about the whales and the rhinos and certain species that are going extinct. They're doing so much for the planet and elephants. And they're these big, huge animals that are actually doing so much for the planet that if you were to lose these animals, it would really be a detriment to the earth. So we should do whatever we can to preserve these species of these amazing animals. And in other parts of the world, they really believe the animals are connected. I know Linda Tucker, she's one of my favorite authors from Hay House. She wrote The Mystery of the White Lions, which was one of my favorite books. And she talks about the white lions being, you know, children of the sun god. That was the subheadline of it. And she, but there's lion shamans in Africa and they just love the lions. And I love the lions so much too. And the white lions and really just believe they're from the stars. And they believe the lions are here to help humanity, and especially the white lions and the white animals. It's just very interesting how other cultures and believe in certain places of the world what they believe about the animals. So I would say if you're interested in that, Google it, look it up. I love learning about spirit animals and the meaning. If you see an animal in nature, what that means, what their message is for you. And again, even like the way the prints are on their fur, is there a message there? I'll often see a little symbol or something in the fur of an animal when I'm working with it, and I'll be part of their message. So yes, wherever they're from, I mean, I believe that they could be from a place that we're from too. Maybe you have interacted with them some other place, some other time, and then you decided to meet at the place you met here and now. I mean, how cool is that? So
oh, just, I know. We can talk that. About that all day, because that would be a great topic. Because I definitely, I'm not convinced that us humans are really from here. So, you know,
yeah,
that's a whole different topic for another right. episode. And maybe I'll have you back and we can talk about that. That would be super awesome. And I see Stephen right. Farmer's book over your shoulder.
Oh, I love Stephen Farmer. Yeah.
He's great. He's actually a great. I've met him a few times. He's a great
oh,
guy.
Oh, you've met him. Awesome.
Yeah. I have a weird connection to him. But anyway, he's a great book. So, Kate, I will absolutely put all of your contact information in the description, but you just tell people how they can find you for those people that don't want to click on the description.
So you can go to kateyen.com, which is my website, and book an appointment with me. I also have a Facebook community called the Animal Empath Community. So you can find me there, and I share messages that I get from the animals. Sometimes I'll get a download from an animal that'll pop in there. And book an appointment with me. I'd love to do a session and meet your animal, talk to you. I'm also a coach. So I help people. I'm a boundary and self-love and reinvention coach. And I received my training from Nancy Levin. She's another Hay House author. So I help, again, people be empowered and to love themselves more. And I'll actually work with their animal to help them clear any beliefs or issues that they're going through. And it's really a three-way conversation that we have when we do our coaching sessions. But yeah, kateyen.com, just reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you, to get to know you, what's going on, and to help with any blocks you might be feeling too. So
do you teach this animal communication too?
I am thinking about teaching.
You should. Yeah, people ask me about that all the time. I wouldn't mind some training myself, because when I get them, I honestly, they show up. It's kind of random. It's not like I like, hey, let's talk to your dog right now. It's just sort of the dog just shows up. It's usually the personality of the dog dictates whether I'm going to end up talking to him or not. But I'm like, I would love some training to like make this a little more conscious.
It's going to happen.
Okay. You heard it. Kate's going to do this because a bunch of people listening, I can already tell. I can already hear you guys. She heard you.
Yeah, I would love to teach it. I think that would be awesome because I've learned things from them over the years of just easy ways and techniques that you can do to have a stronger connection and work together more. Yeah.
So you guys heard it. Get on her newsletter and then you'll be notified when this class becomes available. And I will be in that class too. So just to let you know. Yay. So thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody. I hope this was helpful. And I'd love to have you back sometime if it works out. And thanks, everybody. I hope you got some good information, and we'll see you again next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.